Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by the Black Tux. Looking great for a wedding or special event has never been easier with theblacktux.com. With high-quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your doorstep, the Black Tux is giving guys a new way to rent. And get this, the Black Tux offers free home try-on so you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. The best part, it's completely done online. No trips to the tux shop required. TheBlackTux.com lets you create your look or choose from tons of stylists. Selected outfits starting at just $95. These suits have a modern fit and are made from fine Italian wool, the highest quality on the rental market. Once you're done, you just send it right back. Shipping is free both ways. And to get $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/Glennie. That's theblacktux.com/Glennie, G-L-E-N-N-Y, for $20 off your purchase. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetDSI.com. We are in the middle of March Madness. You still have some Elite Eight games this weekend. Baseball is around the corner. NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs. Get in on the action at BetDSI.com. BetDSI has over 20 years in the business. They are a top-rated business on sportsbook review sites. Great mobile product, easy to use from anywhere, and they have live in-game wagering. So if you forget to, you know, the tip-off, you can bet on your phone, at the bar, super easy. Great customer service available 24/7, 365. Built on a reputation of fast payment of winnings. Free $25 to try the service just for registering. And a 200% bonus on your first deposit with the promo code TAKE200. That's a 200% bonus with the promo code TAKE200. BetDSI.com. Let's go. Hey!
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Friday, March 24th, and if you burn a calendar and put the ashes into an urn, you will punch your ticket to the Elite Eight.
That's a fact. So Xavier did that. They took the month of February because they had a bad February, right? They lost a bunch of games.
They won one game in February.
And so they burned it, and now they carry it around with them, or did they bury it?
They burned the calendar, the month of February, took the ashes, put it in an urn, a glass urn so you can see the ashes, and they have been carrying it with them ever since. And that is why we have one sole Cinderella left in the Elite Eight, packed night of basketball. Besides the Kansas blowout of Purdue in the second half, there are three really great games that came down to the end.
Yeah, the Kansas game was rough. I was telling you this earlier. I haven't had a worse night of gambling, I think, in my life. I think I lost more money tonight than I have in any 2 days of gambling in my past. So I'm playing on tilt right now. I'm especially pissed off at Purdue.
Yes.
Purdue, come on.
You know what they say, though, or at least what I say. The only way you can lose is if you quit.
If you stop, yeah. So I got to double down tomorrow night. I'll be doing that for the Wisconsin game, I'm sure.
So the Purdue looked awful in the second half. I want to say Purdue looked awful, but also Kansas, I mean, they are the best-looking team right now. Mm-hmm. I've talked a lot of shit about Bill Self and his little belly that he holds his March Madness sadness.
One thing that we haven't talked enough shit about Bill Self is the fact that his son's on the team.
Yeah.
We haven't really explored that that much. I guess his son's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing whenever you have a coach's son on the
team. Steve Alford, Bryce Alford.
Yeah. So I guess we're tracking towards like a Bill Self son, John Calipari son, Final Four.
Yes.
That's great.
I love it.
That'll be wonderful. Good storyline. The other big thing was the ending of the West Virginia game.
Yes.
Where the guy like dribbled and just ran around by himself for about like 3 hours.
Okay.
And then fired up three threes, and none of which hit the rim.
Yeah. But
did Huggy draw the? You know what? I've actually got stay woke. I've got a Bob Huggins conspiracy theory on that. I think Huggins took his Fitbit and put it on that kid and said, hey, my wife's going to kill me if I don't get my 10,000 steps.
Need it.
So you go run around the perimeter.
Run in a circle.
For 50 seconds and just fire up threes and get the rebound.
It's like when your puppy has the zoomies, when they're just running up and down the hallway. That's what the last possession for West Virginia looked like. I don't actually blame Javon Carter, not only because he had a good game, but if you watch the ending possession, everyone on West Virginia basically said, let's all go throw a pick for Javon Carter all at the same time, which then led all five defenders above the three-point line, and you got what you saw. I mean, they if West Virginia kept that possession going, they would have just walked all the way till they got a safety.
Yeah. I could have drawn up a better play in the sand with my piss. Like, I could have urinated a better play with X's and O's than that. So
that's college kids. We're talking about 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids. When the coach doesn't have any timeouts left, which Huggy Bear did not, these kids are out there, they're trying to make a play, and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, and I'm seeing this through different colored glasses because I lost a lot of money on that game, too.
Yeah.
So I'm on, like I said, I'm on tilt a little bit.
You're back.
I am back. The other great story of the night was Chris Webber. Man, that guy has fun announcing, doesn't he?
Chris Webber.
Love
had
Chris Webber.
Not the best night. A lot of yelling. At one moment, I actually got scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that's when you know announcers really doing their job, when you zone out in a game, and then all of a sudden you kind of come to, like, why am I getting screamed at?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because someone blocked at the rim, and it was actually a foul, and there's still 15 minutes left in this game. That was what Chris Webber did.
Mm-hmm.
He had a tough night. The other story is the plane crash. Doesn't win you national championships. We thought maybe it was going to take Michigan all the way. Turns out,
Yeah, guess Michigan's not the team of destiny anymore.
Nope.
Let's consult our chart. The next one that moves up, Xavier.
Okay.
Xavier, Bill Murray.
Xavier.
Ghostbusters.
Bill Murray with the ashes.
Hilarious.
But don't sleep on Oregon, because remember, Oregon takes on Michigan's team of destiny, and Oregon had the big injury to Boucher right before this tournament started, which, come on, that's when you lose someone. That's a big team of destiny situation.
You're putting that guy on your shoulders.
Yeah. Feel real bad for him.
Did you hear Chris Webber talk about Karnowski tonight?
What did
he say?
He
called him the Big Poland.
Yeah, the Big Poland. And then he said the Big Guy.
That's a good nickname, yeah.
Yeah, I say we call him the Big Pierogi.
The Big Screen the Big Screen Door Submarine.
Right.
That's the Polish, the Polacks, right?
Yeah.
Right, Hank?
I wouldn't tell.
The kids still tell Polak jokes?
I wouldn't tell a Polish joke to Karnowski.
Okay.
I probably would.
Yeah, probably.
No, he's a big boy. Yeah. All right, and then we have, because it's Friday, we have the other Sweet 16 games. We'll be at MSG. We are going to the Mecca to watch some basketball. Pardon my take. We'll be in attendance. I was saying to you, I don't think my heart can't be ripped out unless Wisconsin gets like a 20-point lead, because it's still the Sweet 16.
Right.
So I think they'll either have a huge lead and blow it, or they will advance, and that will be the heart rip out on Sunday.
And then they'll get a huge lead on Sunday and then lose that one.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Either way.
Maximum pain.
Either way.
They won't let me
suicidal
die.
Suicidal Big Cat. Yeah. I'm just here for the suicidal Big Cat.
Also, the Big Ten's last chance to save the season. I might have rushed.
How quickly?
I might have rushed it a little bit with the whole Big Ten is back.
How quickly the world
turns.
Suck
my dick, SEC, and all that stuff. Talked a lot of shit on the internet streets, but you know what? That's something I like to do. I like to get a little ahead of myself, and when I can't back it up, I just kind of lay under my bed and go silent for a little bit.
Yeah, so that was the NCAA today, and it's going to be great tomorrow, and it's going to be great this whole weekend because it's awesome. But in maybe, I would say, bigger news, you had a couple bad boys talking to you over the podcast right now, a couple NFL rejects that happened to weasel our way into the hen house today.
Rogue journalism.
That's right. I said rogue journalism was on the cool throne this week. And
puts the wind in my hair.
Absolutely. So the NFL did one of their spectacular conference calls. Everybody looks forward to it. It's calendar viewing. This one was the competition committee conference call.
Yep.
Where they have Troy Vincent, and I guess Jeff Fisher's not doing it anymore, which is
no.
I feel like Jeff Fisher should have a lifetime appointment.
You saw
by the way,
yeah,
you did you see the picture of Jeff Fisher?
Yeah, it looks like Kenny Rogers.
He looks like he's Tom Hanks from Lost.
Yeah.
Or not Lost, whatever that movie is. It's 1 in the morning. What's that movie?
Tom
Castaway.
Hanks from Castaway. Yeah.
Thank you. He is Tom Hanks from Castaway.
Quick spoiler.
Yeah.
You got one?
He gets off the island.
And he doesn't get back with his wife.
Right.
No, I don't have to say
Didn't have that good dick.
No. But yeah, Jeff Fisher, let's just say I'm going to put it in my tickler file. it will Jeff Fisher die soon?
Oh, come on, man.
I didn't want to do it. Is Pat Riley dead yet?
No. Jeff Fisher is never going to die.
Is Pat Riley still alive?
If I'm going to call my shot right now. Jeff Fisher is going to live forever.
Okay. If you keep football away from him, the guy has had football in his life every single day of his life up until the last few months. You see what's happening. His body is decaying. In front of our eyes.
If you think that Jeff Fisher doesn't get a position with league office in the next 6 months, then you don't know your football.
That's true.
He's gonna die.
He's a lifer.
He's gonna die inside the NFL's office.
Yeah. All right. So back to what we were talking about. The best part about the NFL, they have all these rules. They've banned us from media day. We went to Radio Row. Walked right in. No problem. Tony Tomsula. They've banned us from everything. We got the email inviting us to this conference call. Not us specifically, but someone in our office, our office manager, Brett, literally got the email, and he just forwarded it. He's like, hey, guys,
do you want
heads
to take
up.
Part in There's this a conference call. Call. You're like, invited to it.
That's how stupid Roger Goodell is. He literally just walked us right to the front door and was like, here you go, guys.
Here's
go
the ahead. Password.
Yeah, here's my refrigerator's stocked. Go ahead, go for it. So we sat on this conference call. We listened to them just like drone on about whatever, God knows what. We weren't listening.
No.
Then they said, we're going to open up to questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial in and, you know, do this whole thing. We did it. And should we play it?
Yeah, let's just play it. We were on hold for, I don't know what, like 20 minutes?
Yeah, so this is our question to the league offices and basically an entire group of journalists and probably owners. I don't even know who else was on that call. A lot of people.
A lot of important people.
Yeah. So here's us with the NFL.
And our next question is from the line of Dan Katz from Pardon Me Tank. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Missed extra points were a big story this year. Have you guys discussed the possibility of eliminating extra points and having a control center where a greased up Andy Reid climbs a goalpost like a double dare challenge? Could be fun.
A quick follow-up. Can you get rid of the senior suffix on the nameplate since it's just kind of a brag that the player had sex at one point? NFL is kind of a family television deal.
Next question, James.
Our next question is from the line of Mike Reese from ESPN.com. Please proceed.
Two things. One, we nailed it. Two, my like real journalist voice, I didn't even know that was me when
That's
I listened back.
Good. Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, fellas.
A lot of us have been talking about missing extra points. Yeah no, it was good. You're very professional.
I was shocked by myself.
It was smooth. And I was shocked at how long it took for them to like cut us off. They actually didn't cut us off.
No.
So we got to finish a question, then it said, you know, okay, next question.
Yeah.
I would have thought that like by the second, the instant you mentioned greased up Andy Reid, I would think that would be like a plug pulling type situation.
Right.
Takes a second to process.
Yeah, it does. Because they're well, like, wait, maybe that's thought a really a, genius idea.
Yeah, they thought it was good. That's why.
And people, longtime award winning listeners, know that that's an idea we've had tossed around for a while. We're ideas guys. Mike Greenberg has made us rules guys and ideas guys. The Andy Reid Control Center, where we just go live to him trying to climb up a greasy pole instead of wasting time with extra points. Come on.
I'm thinking about it right now.
Come on.
It would be wonderful.
It would be wonderful. Either way, Roger, you have a Pardon My Take problem. This is now the second time in a couple months that we've embarrassed you. We would like to.
Third time. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You went to media night, whatever was it called?
Opening night.
Opening night.
Let's get the nomenclature correct.
Roger, we would like to extend the invitation to come on Pardon My Take, come on our podcast to discuss.
We're going to be the bigger man in this situation, say we'll stop fucking with you and giving you wet willies and sticking your head into toilets. And all you have to do is just come to our studio.
Right. People forget Roger Goodell is accessible to the media every single day.
That's right. Yeah. He's absolutely opened himself up. So thank you, Roger. We will take you up on your generous offer. Come on Pardon My Take.
We should just go to his office.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we could sit in the lobby until he comes down and meets us.
Oh, Hank. Yeah.
Good idea.
That's a good idea. By the way, I think we're going to probably get off that email list. So if any journalists out there are listening and they get future conference calls and they want to tip us, our inbox is open. Our DMs are open on Pardon My Take on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to let us keep making a mockery of Roger Goodell. That's fair.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Before we get to our interviews, we have two interviews today. We did Stu Finer. He's got picks for you. He's got winning picks. That's how you're going to get out of it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Stu gave us picks.
Stu had a rough day at the track.
He gave us
today.
Four picks for Friday night. You're going to want to listen to it. And we also have Marlins Man, who came on to talk about the World Baseball Classic and what it was like to be on TV.
He came on the show to talk about Marlins Man.
Yeah,
Marlins Man. These types of shows are some of my favorites. It's just weird part of my take, people.
Right.
And I'm here for that.
And speaking of weird part of my take, people, we now have the weirdest part of my take person, who I don't think we've ever had on this actual show. It's Tex. He is our tea boy. He gets us tea. He puts the tea in PMT. People who follow Barstool probably know him. People who don't follow Barstool, a quick, let's say little biography on Tex. He's from Texas. He's not very smart. He's had two concussions that we know of in the last 2 months, but we love him.
All right.
Tex, you got some haikus for us. We asked everyone to roast us on the iTunes, pardon my take, subscribe. So Tex, who is barely literate and doesn't have a lot going on upstairs, he's going to read the haikus. That wasn't an insult. That was actually just me saying that.
The ocean is big and also it's pretty, pretty freaking wet. Fat guy in t-shirt producer never gets laid. Guy needs a haircut.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Uh-huh.
Big cat overeats another food for PFT Hank's the illiterate.
Tex, do you think I'm fat?
Is that a serious question?
Yeah, I was asking you, do you think I'm fat? Do you?
Part of my take, boys, but it's JJ's birthday now. Thank God that's over.
Okay.
Yeah?
PMT is like two girls, one cup, but this time you are the cup. Sad.
That was a great one.
I like that one a lot.
Hey, Tex, have you ever seen Two Girls, One Cup?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Bad Tex radio. Tex watches Two Girls, One Cup on Bad Radio. Here we go.
This is great.
Thanks for everyone for sending the haikus. We're discontinuing the haikus.
We're suspending them until further notice.
Tex, just talk into the mic and tell us what you think while you watch this, okay?
Just narrate it for us. Just tell us your thoughts, your inner monologue. Okay, that's pretty accurate.
Okay. I don't... Ooh, oh, okay. Oh, come on. Oh, fucking A, man.
Oh! Keep watching, Tex.
Keep watching.
Oh. Why... Oh my God, dude! Why? I feel like that's not good. That can't be real. That's not real, dude. Because that was.
How fast Tex goes through like all the stages of grief. You can hear him.
That was like a no. That looks like tuna. That looks like tuna salad. You know. That's not real.
What do you think, Tex?
All right, I hadn't watched that in a really long time. Holy fuck, that hurt my stomach. I almost puked. Tex.
That's guy stuff.
Tex, that was one of the most viral videos. That was like one of the first viral videos.
2007, yeah.
Yeah.
That's old school.
So what did you... Thoughts on Two Girls, One Cup. We're done with haikus.
That's not real.
Oh, it's
that
real.
That can't be real.
It's real, okay. Man.
Uh-uh.
Did we turn on at all? The beginning was kind of hot.
I mean, yeah. Like the first 3 seconds, I mean, that was interracial.
Yeah, just when they started eating the poop. But like when they got too into it, it was bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little poop's okay.
So, okay. Tex, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you watching Two Girls, One Cup. I had no idea it was going to get that weird. So,
thank you.
Thanks, Tex.
That is occurring guest, Tex.
Yeah, you'll never be back on the show.
Good.
All right, that was Tex. Thank you, Tex, for joining us. Let's do the interviews now. We have Stu Finer and Marlins Man, and let's kick it to them.
Let's talk about Lyft. It's the best ride-sharing service out there, and I want to tell you guys how to earn some extra money and get an extra $500 bonus driving with Lyft. Are you in between jobs? Are you looking to earn some extra money? Are you trying to go back to school to get another degree or your first one? Maybe you started a parody account on Twitter and you need a couple years to kind of cash flow it before you start collecting those big checks. Well, you should start driving with Lyft. It's the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car. There are other ride-sharing apps out there, but Lyft They treat their drivers right. It's a flexible way to make extra money anytime from nearly anywhere. All you need is a car. You can earn up to $35 an hour, and getting started is just a tap away. So I want you guys to sign up for Lyft.com/PMT. Go to Lyft.com/PMT, and right now they're going to give our listeners a special offer, $500, new driver bonus after you complete 100 rides within 30 days. Lyft.com/PMT. And now a word about something near and dear to all us guys, our underwear. Gentlemen, at the end of a long day, our socks, drawers, and undershirts start to develop a certain aroma. We all get a little funky from time to time. There's no escaping it. That's why Hanes invented Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection Technology. Hanes with Fresh IQ attacks bacteria and keeps fabric from absorbing man funk and other unpleasant smells. That means your socks, tees, and boxers smell fresher longer. Right now, Pardon My Take listeners can get 25% off Hanes with Fresh IQ Advanced Odor Protection at Hanes.com with promo code FRESHTAKE. Some exclusions apply, so replace all your old ratty boxer briefs, yellowed undershirts, and mismatched socks. There's never been a better time to upgrade your obsolete undergarments with all-new Fresh IQ socks, shirts, and underwear from Hanes, America's number one underwear.
All right, we now welcome on a good friend of ours, Stu Finer. You know him from StuFiner.com. You also know him from a couple of videos. The video you probably watched yesterday that was something special. Stu, thank you for joining us. We wanted to quickly do some talk.
Out of breath, Stu. That was, yeah, a little out of breath. That was quite a performance.
Yes. See, so we're taping this right after. Yeah, we're taping this right after.
100%, 110%, and I will never brush my teeth again.
There you go. There
I'm
going
to save the tongue of the nipple of PFT forever.
Yeah, my nipple was just encased by Stu's mouth. Yeah, that's a fun fact that we shared today. I have four nipples. So the left, top left quadrant was in
when
there.
Now this is obviously we're talking to Stu, but I have a question for you, PFT. When someone licks one of your nipples, do all your nipples feel it?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, they all get hard.
Yes, there we go.
It.
Beautiful.
I like it.
All right, Stu.
Yes.
You've been hot, 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 hot. We've been following your picks. Can we talk quickly about the Friday night slate? I know you probably don't want to give an official pick on every single game, but can you maybe give us a lean on each game?
Sure, we have, throw it at me. Listen,
Butler,
to all the Barstool people, everybody's been amazing to me. God bless you guys. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right.
And we've been on an epic roll. I mean, it's not good. It's fucking
you've
the best in the world.
You've made me some real money in the past couple weeks.
That's not a joke.
I've been riding your picks.
You were huge on one of the greatest backdoor covers with that Oklahoma State 3 to end the game.
Amazing, and it was pretty funny because I said to my friend, I watched a game alone for 58 minutes, came into the hotel room, lit up a joint, smoked it, ready to rock and roll. I said, we're fucking dead. We're so dead here. And then all of a sudden, he said, no, we're fine. And when he hit the three, I picked him up and we jumped around. I said, that's going to be one shining moment.
There
that's a perfect thing. And then he says to me, no, you're never going to see that replay again. Yeah. I meant absolutely nothing. Yeah. That was only one shining moment for the Oklahoma State bettors. Like, we should have our own show where that shot goes in. We put him on our shoulders, hoist him around. But the only people that really made it, you know, was the gamblers.
Right.
No one even watched that shot. That shot meant nothing.
Well, we were saying that the tournament, everyone has been complaining that the tournament hasn't had the buzzer beaters, the big upsets. But if you're a gambler, it has had the buzzer beaters.
Absolutely.
It has had the big moments.
And the overs have been hitting a lot. Do you expect that trend to turn around this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll tighten up. I think when teams tighten up, when more is on the line, normally the under is prevalent.
And what about the Final Four when they start playing them in the big domes? Do you believe in the shooting getting affected a little there? I know they're
absolutely
playing in Glendale 100%. This year.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a nightmare.
Is that one
it's
of those
a total nightmare?
Is that one of those above ground courts where the seats are sunk?
Yes. Yes.
Where the Cardinals play.
Yeah, I hate that.
No,
yeah.
it's but again, the odds makers know this too.
Right.
So when the line comes out, it's already figured in.
Right.
You know, so you're not getting no advantage. You're not beating the odds maker anytime this
year. I
thought
I was really smart.
Unless you're with me. Yeah. Unless I'm just kicking his fucking teeth in. Like a redheaded stab. I'm killing him. StuFighter.com. Winner, 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 winner.
All right. Butler, North Carolina. UNC's -7.5.
you know, Public's going to be on North Carolina. I would have to lean toward North Carolina. They're just so good and so explosive. And, you know, Duke put them out of their misery in their tournament, but that was only in the second half. The first half, North Carolina blew them out of the gym. I would say if North Carolina plays a perfect game, they're the best team left in the NCAA tournament. And in this game, although Butler really plays really well, they're resilient, they're a great underdog, they're battle-tested the entire year, I would have to take North Carolina in this matchup.
Okay. The next one up is South Carolina, Baylor. Baylor's -3.5. I know you got a lot of thoughts on this because South Carolina, kind of the darling. Yeah. Anyone who beats Duke is the darling.
Yeah, no two ways about it. I think South Carolina's real. I think they're not a fluke. I think they're on a mission. And I think that Baylor really turns over the ball way too much for my liking. I think when it gets tough, they don't shoot free throws well under pressure. They turn over the ball. And I think South Carolina can turn them over. And I think that I would call for an upset here. I think South Carolina is the bet here.
Also, Baylor wears candy-ass uniforms, which, as we all know, in the postseason, bet against the team wearing the bright green and the yellow and the flashy stuff.
I like that.
That's Do you handicap with that? You know, saying like, okay, Baylor's going to wear these
candy ass.
Yeah, candy ass.
Well, fuck no.
Baylor's not.
Absolutely not.
I don't know if I'd call
never.
That's candy. The problem.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's the problem.
Are you insulting my intelligence?
You should start.
Are you demeaning me right now? I'm getting stupider as I sit here.
That's how I make most of my bets is based on the uniforms.
It's a fact. How many national championships has Oregon won?
In football. Zero.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You don't think that has anything to do with the fact that they wear those fluorescent highlighter uniforms and they got all these different colors and everything and everyone's like, oh, they look so great. You got to do it on the field.
True, but I think the Oregon cheerleaders are fucking smoking hot.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Oh my god.
There you go.
I mean, like, oh
players
my
are,
god,
you're distracted.
You don't even care about Oregon. I bet the over and I want this girl to blow me. I mean, those cheerleaders are tens. They're not nines, they're tens.
All right. The marquee matchup of the first 2 days of there's only 2 days of the Sweet 16, UCLA versus Kentucky. This one's going to be great. They already played this year. So, it's a pick 'em. Tell me your side, and also, what do you take from the game, even though it happened like 4 months ago and these teams have obviously changed?
I really believe that UCLA is locked and loaded to make a run. I believe that they have the superstar, they have the supporting cast, they have a deep bench, and they're pretty much selfless where they don't care where it goes, including their team leader, Alonzo Ball. He doesn't care if he scores, assists, gets the rebound, takes the ball inbounds, makes a great pass and play. And that's how UCLA plays. Kentucky's phenomenal, as we know. Kentucky gets the best talent always, and they're extremely hard to beat. And in this time of year, Calipari is extremely, extremely tough to beat. He's a great coach up until the last minute of the game, and then he just, you know, has a brain fart, and he's fucking horrific. He's horrible. I mean, Calipari just falls apart. I see that happening here, too. I see Kentucky winning big, and when it counts, I see UCLA somehow, some way, getting over the hump here and eliminating Kentucky. I would like UCLA.
So okay. you have UCLA winning?
Yes.
Okay. So the point spread on that started at 169, pretty high number, got bet down to 165.5. I'm thinking about hitting the over on it.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
Well,
are we suckers?
I would have to see where the money's going on that right now. Where is the money going on?
It's telling me it's 63% under right now.
That people are betting the under, it went under, so you like to go against that contrarian and go over.
Yeah, I'm kind of an asshole.
Yeah, that's totally why you picked it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to put a pencil to it, but I don't knew it. I did not look at it.
Also, okay. UCLA has kind of candy-ass uniforms, so kind of the cotton candy
gonna
blue.
Going to disagree with that. That's a classic color scheme.
It's the Chargers baby blues.
Yeah, the yellow baby blue
Chris
and white.
Berman
yeah.
says those are the nicest uniforms in the NFL.
That's true.
Yeah, people forget that. Last game of the night, Wisconsin, Florida. At Madison Square Garden, we're all going to be in attendance. Florida is -2. What do you have for us there?
It's a very, very, very hard matchup, but I'm going to lay the number with Florida. I think Florida is going to prevail here. It's going to be a war. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I don't think Florida's going to be able to get off like they normally do from outside. Put it this way. If Florida can hit their threes and hit their threes consistently, they're going to blow Wisconsin out of the gym because Wisconsin cannot score a ton of points, as we know. But they have a prolific offense. They have a really tough scheme. They double down on all your top men. They take away your 1-2-3, so your 4-5 better score or rebound, and you better not turn over the ball against Whiskey. I think Florida's just going to be a little too much to handle here. I'm going to lay the number with Florida. Small number.
Okay. Wisconsin does stop people from getting off.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our thing. Yeah, that's our thing.
I wanted to change the subject real quick to some NBA talk. There's been a lot going on in the news about players sitting out games. I'm curious what, if any, strategy or advantage you can take away from like looking at a game two Saturdays from now, seeing superstar players that might potentially, does that cross your mind at all?
Well, on Saturday night, there's been a propensity for them to sit players. I have no idea why. I have no idea how. I don't know if it's a silent rebellion where they don't like so many games on TV and so many back-to-backs and so many teams having to perform so well late in the season. So on the Saturday night game, you cannot bet that game until 6 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night, 2.5 hours before post, because you have no fucking idea who's playing. And they have probables, and all of a sudden they have questionables, and then they just pull the players. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I would not bet any Saturday night game late. I would have to bet it late, after 6 o'clock. Pretty much after 6 o'clock, you know who's playing, and you see the line has dictated what's going on.
What about end of the season NBA betting? Last month of the season, teams that are kind of out of it, do you stay away from those games altogether, knowing you don't know what kind of effort you're going to get out of each team?
No. I mean, normally, the line is made based on what the effort's going to be. In addition to the injury reports, weather reports, team motivational factors.
Weather reports, big health. Deal in the NBA. Yeah.
But so in other words, I think that the line is already adjusted for that. But like, for example, Brooklyn Nets down the stretch are going to be an amazing fucking bet. They're an amazing team with Jeremy Lin and healthy right now. They're a nightmare. They can beat anybody,
how many
anytime,
games have they won?
Anywhere.
Like
they have like
11?
I think they have like 12 games won for the whole
but
fucking
But they're heating
yeah.
up at the right time.
Yeah, well, right now.
Don't let them get in the tournament.
right now, the Brooklyn Nets are a good bet. So a dog shit NBA team like the Nets are going to close strong. A lot of teams, when they say they're going to tank to get a great draft pick, see, I like to go against anything that makes sense, anything that is out there. If they say the Knicks are going to tank, I want to bet on the Knicks every fucking night because the world thinks they're going to tank. They're not going to bet them. I'll get value with the line, and that's how I'll do it.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you said earlier that you actually get into NHL betting during the playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs start.
Watching NFL games without any money on, or NHL games without any money on the line in the playoffs is already like stressful for me as it is.
Oh, no,
I'm a Caps fan too, so that probably has something to do with it.
That shouldn't be stressful. You guys lose every year.
Yeah, it's fine. I know what to expect. But when you're
folding right now, by the way.
No, we're just heating up.
Okay,
we're just heating up.
I would like to see you win the minor setback. I would like to see you win the cup. I have them winning the cup this year.
There you go. Boom. Love it. It's a Caps year. Stu knows it. So, what's your strategy for betting NHL in the playoffs?
Reverse line moves, underdog betting, and a lot of unders.
Unders.
Kills me.
Playoff unders. I
Kills
hate that.
Me.
Yeah.
Kills me.
So then it goes to overtime and you're fucked.
Yeah, and betting under in general is a nightmare. It's a complete horror show. Mm-hmm. But if they put a line up at 5.5, that's a really tough number to go under. I like that. It's so uncomfortable. The more uncomfortable you are when you make a bet, probably the bigger percentage you're gonna win.
It's so true.
When you have a lock and you feel great, your dick's hard, you're going to get a blowjob before the game, you're going to have somebody eat your ass, and then you're going to go take a shower and watch the game.
It happens all the time. What about
the
shower
great,
stuff?
You're fucking dead. First quarter, 25-0. First quarter, you're dead.
Should you shower before you get your ass eaten?
I mean, the rule of thumb is if you can't eat it, you don't fuck it. So I immediately go down. If it smells nice, I eat it, lick it, eat the ass, and then worry about it later. Here's the question.
If Lenny Dykstra dies,
what?
You're our new locker room talk guy.
Fair enough. But here's the question I really want to ask you. Do you eat ass on first date? PFT.
No. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's a risk.
You got to. Listen, what do you mean? Hank, you got to.
That's a bad bet.
I never have, but I'm not opposed.
There we go. I love it, baby.
That's the correct answer.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the correct answer. All right, Stu, StuFinder.com. The legend, living legend.
Living legend, I am.
Can you give us a little like pump up or something? I mean, you're a motivational speaker as well, so maybe a little pump up.
Here's the bottom line. In fucking life, everybody tells you can't do this, you can't do that. Learn your place, sit in the room, be quiet. Fuck that, fuck everybody. You take the world by the balls, you do whatever the fuck you want to do. You're a child of God, you're as good as everyone. You're the best there is. Look in the mirror, say it to yourself. Say, Stu Finder told you, you're the best there fucking is. Fuck all day, party all day, because you're part of Barstool Sports. You're a stoolie, and you're with Stu fucking Finder.
And now for something completely different.
All right, we welcome on our very good friend, longtime friend of the program. It's Lawrence Levy, Marlins man. You know him as Marlins man. He is coming live from the post-glow of America's huge win in the World Baseball Classic. Great game. But come on, a game's a game. We want to know more about you sitting there and being telecasted to the world.
Well, what was interesting was, which I hadn't thought about, the Japanese who were so against USA the night before screaming for Japan.
Classic,
the next night, they were screaming for USA against Puerto Rico, waving American flags and waving American clothes. It was just an amazing transformation. We went from the enemy to the best friend.
Interesting. Why do you think that happened? I don't want you to be humble here. Did you have a pretty big part in kind of reaching out that olive branch and converting some of the Japanese?
I think that they were very surprised how warm and nice Americans were to them. Many of them came over here afraid that USA might be harmful to them because of World War II.
Mm.
They still have
people forget, yeah, they were they were in World
Too
War II against the United
Too
States.
Too soon.
Yeah, and a lot of them told me, they were told by their friends, don't come, Americans hate you, blah, blah, blah. You might be put in a concentration camp. And when they came to the United States for the very first time, they were shocked at the traffic in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And
everyone.
They were shocked how nice people was everybody was to them. And I think that when they realized that they lost the game after the home run, that didn't turn out to be a home run in the eighth inning, when it died in the rain,
mm-hmm.
the next night they came here. And they were more passionate for USA than many of the USA fans were against Puerto Rico.
Interesting. Now, did you warn them that maybe some of the baseball stadiums and things like that are potential FEMA camps? I read about that on InfoWars.
No, I didn't tell them that. And I didn't say Tora, Tora, Tora either of them. Nope, sorry.
Okay.
So the game was unbelievable. America's first win in the World Baseball Classic. But, come on. I mean, you're sitting, second, third row? And
well, I brought 10 different people. I was in first, second, and third row every day.
Oh,
I was always moving around.
You brought 10 people with you? Did I mishear you?
10 people.
Yeah, I brought 10. I only knew two of them. The other ones I just picked at random.
Did they leave as friends? You guys leave as friends?
Yeah, we came.
Hell
that's
yeah.
One of my phrases. We arrived as strangers and departed as friends.
So usually you're at a game and it's just, it's MLB. Just America. Maybe a little some people in Toronto. Now, this is the World Baseball Classic. Has it hit you yet that you were there for the game that America won their first World Baseball Classic, but more importantly, you were telecasted around the world, that Marlins orange?
Yeah, well, I got better for you. People in the stadium taught me, which I didn't know how to do Twitter Live and Instagram Live.
Ooh.
So I was doing that in the game. You see me holding up my phone, and some idiots are telling me all I do is taking selfies. I didn't take any selfies at all.
Yeah.
I was broadcasting the game live around the world. The people were writing to me.
Wow.
They were in Korea. They were in Japan. They were in Germany. They were in the Netherlands saying, oh my God, we don't even get MLB TV here. We're watching the game live through you.
That's amazing. So you invented the baseball broadcast from behind home plate. Now, let me ask you this. Did you have expressed written consent from Major League Baseball, or did you just have kind of an implication of consent?
It's funny. I knew that was going to come. The answer is, no, I didn't have their consent.
Uh-oh.
But neither did about 5,000 other people in the stadium doing the same thing I was doing.
Does that make it right?
Could you get disbarred?
No, I couldn't get disbarred.
Mm-hmm.
But
we know a good lawyer.
They would have to basically knock out thousands of people in the stadium doing the exact same thing.
So you were there for the finals, obviously. You got to know some of the Puerto Rican fans. How did they take to Marlins, man? Did they like you?
They were nice, but I have to tell you, when it started in Miami, it was a total sellout every night, and the most crazy, passionate, lunatic fans are Dominican Republic.
Ooh.
They don't stop banging these drums and ringing these bells and standing and dancing
the
entire game. They scream after every pitch.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, we kind of yell or cheer after an out or after an inning, but they don't stop. It's like a soccer game for them. And then Puerto Ricans were second. And USA fans, you feel like you're kind of watching on TV. They cheer after a good play. They don't cheer after every strike or every ball.
Right. The right way.
Right. Ian Kinsler taught us that.
I want to go back to this for a second. You guys don't realize how big you've gotten. I saw at least 10 flags yesterday that said, Saturdays are for the boys.
Love flag, it. Nice.
So
when I was at Miami, I took a picture and sent it to you. They didn't want me on the field. I said, I got to get on the field to take the picture of it. I don't want the back of the flag. So I went on the field. I took the picture. It's a huge, about 10-foot by 10-foot flag that said Saturdays are for the boys with the Barstool logo.
Wow, how about that? That's awesome.
Love it. So, all right, so this is obviously before the season starts. Little practice for you. Because the season's coming up. What do you got planned? Anything big? Any big Marlins man stuff? You're going to go hit the ice cream cart?
My season's over and I lost my weight and I grew my beard and it really is me.
Yo.
Not an imposter behind the screen. Mm. For example, next Friday, I go to the Heat game. On Saturday, I'm at the Florida Derby. On Sunday, I'm in St. Louis for the opening night ESPN baseball.
Gotta be there,
on Monday, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona for the men's championship NCAA basketball game if I like the teams. Then I got to go to Orlando for 4 days for work and for seminars. And then I start many, many, many baseball games pretty much every weekend for the whole season.
Are you going to make it up to Cleveland at all this year?
No.
You sure?
I'll make it to Cleveland for basketball in the city, but the Indians fans don't like me.
Yeah. All right, last question. Because the season's starting, you think there might be a little makeup with foul ball guy?
No. He's a peon compared to a giant. Sorry.
Always humble. That's our guy. All right, Marlins man.
Hey, you know what? That's another big thing I hear, which is true. I've been telling a lot of these guys I meet who are bosses, listen to me. You guys are the future of America. You're going to be big successes. Never let it go to your head.
Yes. No.
Always be appreciative for the people and never always remain humble. It started out as a joke and it's very serious to me. Stay humble because that's what this country is about.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's Noel. Yeah. It's two things. It's stay humble and make sure when you're on TV behind the home plate, retweet that picture so everyone can see.
And also make sure that any Japanese visitors are treated like guests.
Yes. Don't put them in concentration
camps. You guys replaced Larry yet?
No.
Larry passed away. There's no replacing Larry.
Yeah.
No, but he was helping me. I used to help. He was helping me with my picks on the Bovada.
We're going to get another one. He's in a freezer right now.
Yeah. So we're going to bury him outside Canton, Ohio, outside the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wait.
And then we'll get another
one. Freezer?
Yeah, he's in our freezer. You know, we named him after you.
Oh, great.
Because he's gold.
Yeah.
Just like your jacket.
Orange,
Here's a free tip.
Yeah. How's the camera?
April Fool's Day is coming up.
And he's white.
Yeah.
On April Fool's Day, you should dress up as Waldo.
That sounds great.
That would be funny. Red and white stripes. Where's Waldo? You guys found me.
Yep. Do it.
But I'm telling you, I want you to know you're doing a great thing. It's spreading around everywhere you go in the country. You guys have become a very positive sports story, and I don't want it to ever go to your heads either. No. You guys stay humble.
Well, let's remember who the real heroes are. It's the first responders and the second responders.
And the troops.
And the troops and the teachers and firefighters and police officers.
Right.
And your parents.
And your parents.
Every day to put food.
Right.
It's my dad's birthday. Can you wish him a happy birthday, Mr. Man?
Happy birthday. And I want to tell you something else people always give me. When you interviewed me the first time, I didn't realize how big this would get. Everywhere I go, people ask me, is your mom still the most famous number in your phone? It started with you guys.
Yeah, that's it right there. People saying sup to your mom.
That's right. It's true.
All right, we're going to see you this year. I'm sure our paths will cross. We'll at least see you in New York when you come a few times this year. Marlins, man, thank you very much, and safe traveling, and we'll see you on our TVs probably tomorrow night.
That's right.
All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have LeBron Blames, our good friend and Part of My Take correspondent, LeBron James. Had a nice quote the other night. He said, it ain't about a group, it's about individuals. We've got to be more, just do more. It ain't about no group. You can't preach toughness. You got to have it. And then when he was questioned individually, he said, personally, I had opportunities where I could have been better. One thing about it, I always bring toughness to the game. I know that's for sure. So it's nice little LeBron Blames. Everyone else isn't tough, but he brings the toughness.
Yeah, I'd say my worst quality is sometimes I'm so tough that I intimidate my teammates and then they become less tough.
Yeah.
So that's on me.
This is right about the time of the year where LeBron starts subtweeting his teammates, talking about them to the press
Let's just use the word subtweet to include just being passive aggressive in press conferences.
Yes.
Too. I'm sick of trying to figure out what that actually is. Mm-hmm. It's all a subtweet.
Yes, it is. His entire action is a subtweet. His entire life is a
subtweet. He was born a subtweet. Merely inherited it.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe it will galvanize the troops. Maybe kick Kevin Love out of a couple Instagram pictures. Tell everyone to stop trying to fit out and start trying to fit in.
Start fitting in. Yeah, well, it certainly worked for their march so far.
Yes.
So, did I hear that, like, the Celtics are a game
one
back?
One game out.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. The nerd Nate Silver, the nerd in chief, he has the Celtics actually with
a better chance.
A higher percentage of winning the NBA Finals. That's how you know that you're a nerd.
It's like 9-8.
So. It's going
to
be great.
Nate, how many rings does Nate Silver have?
Zero.
Well, I was going to say it's going to be great when the NBA Finals is the San Antonio Spurs versus the Washington Wizards. After everyone all year said that it was going to be the Cavs and the Warriors for the rubber match.
That would actually be great.
Yeah.
I would if you can put like a live cam on Steph Curry and the rest of the soft candy-ass Golden State Warriors watching the finals that they should be in.
That would be great.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
All right. And we also have a little LeBron was in the news because he went after LeVar Ball. Little dad-to-dad action. LeVar was saying that basically his sons are in a better spot than LeBron's kids because they don't have to live up to LeBron's expectations, the expectations of being LeBron James' kids. This happened to Michael Jordan's kids. They weren't the greatest of all time, so everyone was like, wow, these guys suck. I don't really understand, though, LeVar Ball's point when he basically is walking around just putting a big spotlight on his children at all times. For scrutiny.
Well, my favorite part about this was LeBron said, okay, you can talk about me, you can talk about my team, you can talk about all this other stuff, but now it's dad to dad.
Yeah.
And dad to dad is my new favorite phrase right now. Ooh, we might be seeing a little dad to dad situation with Calipari and Self.
Mm.
They might have to go dad to dad with it.
We have dogs, so can we go dad to dad to people?
I'll go dad to dad with you all day, bro.
Yeah, let's
you don't
do
even
it.
Know.
Dad, LeBron thinks that having a child has somehow made him like, you know, when it's like your life, you know, your life perspective changes when you have a child.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron also thinks that like he gets a free pass to like tell people, hey, you don't say that to me. I'm a dad.
Right. Having a kid is a great excuse for a lot of things. And then LeVar Ball went on First Take today, right?
Yeah, he's everywhere.
And yeah, how come we haven't had him on Part of
I don't know.
Yet? But he went on First Take and basically stuffed Stephen A. Smith into a locker.
Listen, if you can get the guy who claims that he would have won the O.J. Simpson trial to be so dumbfounded that he's speechless,
mm-hmm. You're doing something right.
He out hot takes Stephen A. Smith. He said that Lonzo would be like magic on the Lakers year one.
Uh-huh. Well, here's something I have to think about here. LeVar Ball has never lost an NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James has.
Wow.
So we don't know if LeVar has the clutch gene or not yet. That's unproven. So we don't know if his kids inherit it. We do know that Stephen A. Smith doesn't have the clutch gene
right.
because he got pantsed on national television
yes.
today. And you know how like a while ago we said that kids were content engines?
Yep.
That like if you're not using your kid to like make them go viral in some stunt, then why do you even have children? It's actually become the opposite now. Like parents are now the content engines.
Yes.
So LeVar Ball is the straw that stirs the drink of NBA media right now.
Of the Ball family, yeah.
Yeah. So I actually do love that, and I want to see what other players' dads. I want to see what Karnowski's dad's doing in Poland.
We're also getting those columns. If you draft Lonzo Ball, you're also drafting his dad.
You're inheriting his dad.
Big time problem.
By the way, I'm a fan of Big Baller Brands. It just rolls off the tongue.
The triple B?
I might be the first here. Okay, now if you're thinking in terms of like internet content, right now we all have the opportunity to be the first person to get the triple B tattoo because no one's got that tattoo yet. So if you want to get a couple headlines, you want to see your face on Bleacher Report, now's the time.
Triple B on the back.
Yep, all like across the back.
Yeah, got to start working out again. It's a good excuse. Get a huge tattoo,
and then you'll
go to the gym. Yeah, yeah. We have a put one in his ear hole. This one goes out to Dan Snyder. The Redskins have proposed an NFL. The R words have proposed an NFL bylaw change that would enable teams to opt out of wearing Thursday night football color rush unis.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, garish uniforms. I want to puke.
Yeah. I mean, color rush is my favorite part of the NFL week. I think it's yours too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they wear different colored uniforms than they do on Sundays.
How else will you know it's Thursday?
Exactly. I've been waiting all day for Thursday night.
I've been waiting all day for the team to wear their regular color, but just more of it.
More, yeah. Stronger Pantone of
right,
it.
Right.
I question Dan Snyder. I question his knowledge of what constitutes an offensive uniform. Mm. What would he know about that?
Right. Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I guess this is like a PR strategy on the Redskins' part, our words part, to deflect from the fact that the rest of their organization is a big diarrhea-filled clown car to get their name in the press for something else.
Yes.
And they also suggested that on a kickoff, if it goes between the uprights, then the touchback starts at the 20.
I like that.
Five extra yards.
I like that. That's actually a good rule. I'm just going to throw this out there. And it's kind of like a battle cry. You'll remember where you were when you heard this. There's a war on Thursday Night Football. There's mm-hmm. a war on football, but the battle that we need to win mm-hmm. right now is Thursday Night Football. People want to get rid of it. First, they take your color rush jerseys.
First, they came no for the color anything. Rush yeah. because I wasn't I a human highlighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Second, they came for our extra point commercial, kickoff commercial.
Mm.
Which Roger Goodell said that he was going to do today.
Yes.
And that's my, besides the color rush, that's the second best part of Thursday Night Football.
Right. So just everyone keep your ears out up, you know? Like, let's band together here because I think there's going to be a lot of Thursday Night Football bashing. People are going to try to get rid of it, mm-hmm. say the games suck. Minute you take away Thursday Night Football, you're going to be missing it.
You can pry my Jaguars-Titans Thursday Night October matchup from my cold, dead hands.
Exactly. Next up, we have a quick QB, sad QB carousel. We don't know what we're going to name this segment, but it's basically an update on all the sad QBs and where they've been placed. As we know, the Bears have signed Mark Sanchez, so that's nice because Mike Glennon plus Mark Sanchez like equals about like 75% of a starting quarterback
yeah,
if you add their
really.
Skills.
Not really.
Yeah.
Sanchez is going to be the alpha in that locker room.
Yeah.
So that's the situation.
Okay.
You never want to bring in a backup
Spin
that's
zone.
The alpha.
Spin zone. Here we go. Healthy quarterback competition. You need that.
Okay.
Listen, Glennon, you want your quarterback who's never had a secure starting job and probably questions his own ability mm-hmm. to always be looking over his shoulder.
Well, it's pretty easy with a neck like that.
Bears
to
got
take a look over there.
Bears got a nice situation. Iron sharpens iron. Ever heard of that one? Mark Sanchez and Mike Glennon. You
That's
put
true.
Those two together. The sharpest quarterback in the world.
Counterpoint, John Fox he's been in the league for like 25 years.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
He's been
anymore.
In the league for over 18 years, so Mark Sanchez isn't going to be trying that hard to impress it.
Yeah, true. We also have Josh McCown, Jets. That was a nice signing. $5 million bonus if he wins the Super Bowl.
Ooh, wow.
I think you can get actually better odds in
is
Vegas
now, is
for
it,
the Jets
that,
to win the
yeah,
Super Bowl.
Is that tax-free?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that before taxes? That's an important thing. I hope his agent looked very closely at that incentive.
If I were the Jets, I'd worry less about putting in a bonus for winning the Super Bowl and more just make Josh McCown jerk off. Like, hey, we'll give you $1 million bonus if you masturbate weekly
right.
so that you're a normal human being.
Yeah, Woody Johnson... He's probably just going to put that money into a Ponzi scheme instead.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit better returns on that.
And then Johnny Manziel has been rumored to the Saints.
That's good.
He had lunch.
Good fit.
He's back.
Brunch.
I told you.
Yeah, he's back. He's been low profile, ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Colin Kaepernick, no team.
Not even close to having a team.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting.
Hmm. Interesting.
Hmm. Hmm. Maybe worry less about helping the needy, Colin.
Hmm.
Worry more about keeping a low profile and just not doing drugs because you were once addicted.
Maybe stand for the national anthem like Johnny Manziel stands when his name's called in a court of law. Can you imagine if comeback season started with Johnny on his knee as the judge walked up to the bench?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be on a team.
Last up before we have Jimbo's, we have a quick stay woke.
Yes.
This one comes from ESPN. They had a halftime article, the Cucks versus the Wolverines, and a score. Obviously, they meant Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Quick way to go viral. Throw that cuck word
drop,
out there.
Drop a cuck, drop a hard C.
I'm on to you.
It's almost too obvious.
It really is. It really is.
Well, I was thinking about it, and the thing is, the C is right next to the D on a keyboard. So it's like,
it's below,
a perfect crime.
Below.
Right, it's like,
it's a perfect crime.
We need to, someone needs to use cuck in a headline, and someone's like, oh, Oregon's playing tonight.
I've
perfect.
Yeah, okay.
That's,
they could also could have said Oregon fucks.
A little too convenient.
But cucks is hot in the streets.
Yeah, cucks, it is real hot.
Retired.
I mean, we retired it. It was so hot that we had to have a pardon my take off air little
cuck
mini conference
with
ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, we're saying cuck too much. And you could tell by this segment,
it is a fun word to say.
It feels good to get back to fall off the wagon.
You remember when you started to swear when you were in like sixth grade and like how good it felt to say like shit out loud? That's how I cuck.
Fuck.
Yeah.
We're going to need to go back to rehab.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. Hurt or injured?
Oh.
Got to ask this. Sidney Crosby slashed a guy's finger off today.
He's a hockey player, right?
Mark Metho.
He's a hockey player,
yes.
So
he's a hockey player.
So he didn't even miss a shift.
Correct. A basketball player would be out for 5 years.
Right.
Actually, LeBron James would retire because he wouldn't be able to point his finger at his teammates and blame them for things.
Yes. All right, let's go to Jimbo's. Hank, you got him?
Jimbo sucked this week, once again.
Ooh. Cracked that whip.
Went to a wedding and missed the entire first weekend of March Madness. Also, again, don't send long Jimbos. I don't read them. Like, if it's more than 4 or 5 lines, I quit out every single time.
If you can send your...
People think it's like, oh, listen to my life experience. Like, oh, look at this crazy shit that happened. Like,
if you can send your Jimbo in a GIF, that would actually be best.
Yes.
After listening to PMT, I tried to wipe my ass back to front. I accidentally got my shirt pressed between my back and the toilet paper, and afterwards spent the rest of the day with my shit on the back of my shirt.
Listen, that's not on us. It sounds like you just have bad eye-butt coordination.
How does that even... Yeah, that's... You're a child.
Yes.
You're a child.
I tried to use a as a white guy type of joke to my black history professor.
Oh.
He didn't take it well, and I had to withdraw from the class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
This is like the jackass warning. Yeah. Don't try any of these jokes at home. Don't start going telling people as a white guy and getting fake offended to black people.
Mm-hmm. I thought
that was implied, but I guess we need to put the warning in there.
Don't tell your grandmother congrats on the sex on your dad's birthday.
Yeah.
I think we definitely need a warning.
Yeah, I think we do need a warning.
Because our next Jimbo says, our Uber driver had crutches in the front seat. My friend and I climbed in the back seat, and we immediately asked if he was hurt or injured. He replied, he's an amputee.
Ah.
Yeah. Got to be careful with that.
Yeah. Warning.
I thought Purdue was a real school and not a bunch of fucking nerds, and bet them to cover the spread against Kansas, and that was just the dumbest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, that's your Jimbo,
from
Hank.
Award-winning listener... R.I.P. Harambe, LOL, elite.
Hank, you actually had a very good point, and I'm going to give you credit for it. We all bet Purdue, and you were like maybe 2 minutes into the second half, you're just like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, Purdue could play Kansas 100 times. I don't care who's on what side of what team. Kansas always beats Purdue in the tournament.
Like, if I was 12 years old before I understood, like, lines and – favorites and stuff, I would have been like, Kansas wins. Like, it wouldn't, yes. I would have been like, Purdue? Yeah.
And then they bring that little sack. I'm sorry, I'm getting heated, but that little guy that they bring out, and they're like, he's the fifth generation in his family to go to Purdue. I'm like, so he comes from a long line of complete morons.
Purdue's a good engineering school.
This is the guy
school.
That I bet on.
Purdue's a good engineering school. 70% dudes.
It's, see, my fatal flaw was I didn't realize that I was putting my money on people who willingly attend Purdue.
Yes.
So that was my big mistake. Never going to make that one again.
Yeah, it was a low moment. It was a low moment when we all were watching that, and Hank made that very, very astute point that a blind monkey could pick Kansas over Purdue,
yes.
And yet here we are rooting for +5.5 yes. when they're down 30, and Frank Mason's hit his like 7th shot in a row.
Yeah, it was bad.
So
take Stu's picks today, though. He's probably going to be hot.
Yeah, take Stu's picks today. He will be hot. Water always finds its level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Real quick, I want to finish it up with this. Jake Arrieta hit a 466-foot home run today. Farthest home run in the history of Major League Baseball.
I'm surprised it took you this
for
long.
For pitchers.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took you this long. So I don't know if you guys know how air works, but it's hot. a little dry heat. The ball carries.
The Grand Canyon, is that high in elevation?
The ball carries in Arizona.
It's pretty far above sea level.
So yeah. Yeah.
What makes it carry?
The air.
Isn't there air everywhere?
Yeah, but it's thinner.
Isn't air? You can't see air, so how do you know if it's thinner?
No, because you get higher up. Come on, Hank. You know that part.
What? When you get higher up?
You get higher up.
And it just...
It gets thinner. Golf balls travel farther. So do baseballs. Okay. That was probably like barely over the fence. So nothing to worry about, guys.
Okay. 466 feet.
It's just a stupid little witch hunt that's been going on for a long time now. Jake Arrieta, I love you. You have great arms because you lift a lot of weights. That's the only thing. All right, that's our show. We'll see you on Monday. Could be really sad, Big Cat.
I love you guys.
Take on me. Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
I'm Rob Cesternino, the aptly named Rob Has a Podcast, where we're creating fun, smart conversation around reality TV games like Survivor. And this March, Survivor Game Changers is finally here. Join me weekdays for episode recaps, player interviews, and of course, your feedback. So if you're ready for a game change in your own Survivor experience, download Rob Has a Podcast at podcastone.com on the Podcast One app or subscribe on iTunes.